For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
I know a lot of times, you know, everyone wants to see everyone get better every day, but remember, it's just not a straight shot to being a good football team. It's a process, which we have been preaching for a long time. One thing I will say is, and this has been, you know, historically, the defense will always be ahead of the offense. The defense will always be ahead of the offense. Now, the offense, obviously, they're still gelling together. And we have a lot of guys on defense that already know the scheme. So, you know, it's hard to jump to conclusions. You know, are these guys going to be good? Are they bad? Like, I don't know, and I don't think you guys know either. I don't even think, you know, the coaches out there know. But one thing I will say, it's about competition, and it's about getting better each and every day, not only on the field but also off the field.
He believed it. He said it twice. The defense will always be ahead of the offense. And then, in case you didn't hear it the first time, he said it again. That defense is always, always, forever and ever going to be ahead of this offense. Which maybe he didn't mean that, but it certainly sounded that way. It's Christian Arcand, Megan Ottolini, Travis Thomas here. Final hour before we hand things off to Rich Keefe and then Red Sox pregame as the Red Sox and the Yankees start their three-game series tonight here at Fenway on an absolutely beautiful day.
Yes.
It is a beautiful night for baseball. If you're on your way down here, there's a lot of Yankee fans, so get ready. Might get a little personal out here as the Yankees. Listen, the Yankees are defensive. Yankee fans are defensive. Their team is floundering. Worse than you are. Worse than the Red Sox are right now. They've been floundering since the middle of June. It's been rough here for the Yankees. Rough sailing. They just got beat up by the Mets recently.
Yeah.
The Red Sox don't really have much room to talk because they have been awful since the All-Star break. We'll see which team breaks out of it first. We'll find out a little bit later on. Also, we have some trades in Major League Baseball, which we'll get to in just a second. But first, let's once again sink our teeth into those comments there from Gerard Mayo. Obviously, we know that the offense is a work in progress. We know there's a new quarterback. We know there's a new offensive coordinator. We know there's all these new people and rookie playmakers and everybody else is going to be a part of this offense. We also know that there is an offensive line that's just getting slapped together in some of the most haphazard way. I mean, yeah, we got five guys. We'll just get the best five guys, and we'll put them on the line somewhere, and that'll be the offensive line. It's like, what? What are you talking about? That is not how you set the foundation of everything that's going to happen going forward here on offense, including protecting your third overall pick. To hear him sort of talk about it that way makes it seem like he's being kind of hands-off when it comes to the offense and letting the offensive people run all that stuff. And listen, he learned under Bill Belichick. That's what Bill did. When Mayo was there, that's what Bill was doing. He said, Josh, you're running the offense with Brady, and I'm going to be over here with the defense. And that was that. I don't know how much I like Mayo just sort of taking that over and having the exact same philosophy. Not that I think he's some offensive genius or anything, but, you know, Belichick could do that. Can Gerard Mayo do that?
Well, I think we think about Belichick in the final, maybe like, we're talking about when he had Josh McDaniels and then every offensive coordinator beyond that, except for the Matt Patricia experiment.
Ugh.
Fiasco. I don't really know what you would expect Gerard Mayo to do at this point. It's his first time being a head coach.
Yeah.
He does come from the defensive side of the ball. And so we have reports that he's been floating around the practice, that he's definitely been involved in some capacity with the other side of the ball. But I don't expect him to come out there and be like extremely involved in the offense. And the offense is going to be behind the defense the entire season, assuming that your defense is really good. If you have a really good defense, this offense has no foundation. It has no foundation of talent. Basically, your foundation is Ramondre Stevenson, David Andrews, and Hunter Henry. Mm. And other than that, it's young guys and guys who you're trying to pull into Alex Van Pelt's system, which is the first time that you're implementing his system. So, yeah, like I don't think he's telling any lies there. I also don't think it's like he's setting some horrible expectation for the offense, because in order for them to be better than last year, you said it before, Travis, like the offense just needs to be competent.
Yeah. Show up. walk, chew bubble gum at the same time. I hate this workflow. And I wish there was a different philosophy from the beginning if this was going to be the workflow. Meaning, then invest in the offense. Like, spend money on players. Spend more. I understand they're retaining all these young players on defense. But, you know, if this was going to be the deal and Jerod Mayo was going to be Belichick Jr. and just focusing on the defense, cool. Then, and you're just going to leave the offense to the offensive people, great. Then invest in the offense. Give the offensive people, you know, something to work with. Because if you're just going to leave the offense to the offensive people and they're not working with much, what do you think's going to happen? And then you hear these comments that we came in with, oh, yeah, the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense. That ain't good, brah. And that's going to get you fired before long. Sure, you'll get a pass this year, no problem. Maybe next year. But I tell you one thing, if Drake May can play and they sense that and they sense Jerod Mayo's in over his head, he's not going to be here long.
Yeah.
They're going to go higher. Which, in my opinion, they should have done, but that's another topic. They're going to go hire some young offensive-minded coach to get the most out of their quarterback. It's just the way it is. So if this was going to be the workflow, then philosophically, they should have invested in every way offensively. They didn't do that.
No, they certainly didn't. And I think that when you're Bill Belichick and you have Tom Brady as your quarterback and an offensive coordinator who he trusts and who, you know, you've been able to win with, then that's different. I mean, that's different from a first-time quarterback, a first-time offensive coordinator, you know, like a first-time head coach, all of these things. And to sort of just say, well, it worked before with Tom Brady. It didn't work with Mac Jones. He said, all right, Mac, we're going to put you with this offensive coordinator. Now we're just going to slap you with this guy, and now we're going to bring in this guy, and you guys work on it, and I'm going to stay out of the way, do my defensive thing. That didn't work, all right? That didn't work without Tom Brady. And I think even with Tom Brady, it's sort of dubious to think that that's some sort of workflow, as you say, that's just the way things go. And yeah, okay, we'd be able to do that. That's how it worked when you had the greatest quarterback of all time. It's just that's naive. 617-779-7937. Steve is in Fall River, says he wants to apologize. Go ahead, Steve.
I want to make a sincere apology from the bottom of my heart. All the bookworms out there who are on the radio call yesterday. And I'm just so upset with myself. And I've been really self-flagellating all night until I got back on the radio today.
So now, you're apologizing to them for comparing them to me, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
I get it. I see.
You're a bad bookworm.
That's pretty good.
A bad bookworm. Bookworms take good notes. You took bad notes. I had
Steve,
to
I got to say, I am reeling from that insult yesterday. I have not gotten over it yet.
I'm not a bully. I'm not a name caller, so to speak.
Oh, yes, you are.
And I'm never an apologist. And I'm never an maybe I am. And I'm never an apologist for sports teams, which you said I was.
You were, because you were being, now wait a minute, Steve, you were being a suck-up to the Red Sox yesterday, and I stand by that. You can call me a bookworm, but you were being a suck-up, yes.
Wait a minute, we're supposed to be having a nice conversation here in the spirit of...
All right, fine, I want to apologize to all suck-ups for comparing them to you, then. How do you like that?
Let's leave that alone. We got to wait to see what happens with the trade deadline.
That's
you're
true.
Comparing this workflow, and you're becoming a nerd now with the workflow. It's not the work. The workflow is part of it. It's the talent. Tom Brady was here. He got run out of Dodge on his last playoff game here in New England through an interception on his last pass because he was throwing to Ben Watson and N'Keal Harry. And they were bad. Even Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels couldn't undo that. And then I'm pretty certain we've gone down from there at quarterback. And we've also gone down with our skill set at coaching and possibly even offensive coordinator. And that's a lousy, and you're looking at the workflow, but isn't the talent may actually, hard to believe, is worse. Hard to believe we probably have a worse offensive line group that's going to start the season.
That's not hard to believe. I think that's absolutely true. And Steve, thanks for the call. We're up against the break. I'd let you go, but like, you know, that's, and also you called me a bookworm. But yeah, that's true. I mean, there's ways to look at the offense and think, okay, you know, it wasn't good last year. It was one of the worst offenses in the league, but did it get more or less stable? with all these rookies and sort of new coaches and everything. Offensive line where you don't even know who the tackles are. You had tackles last year. You don't have tackles this year. You don't know who your tackles are. You know, we're hoping the quarterback's going to be get better. We all think he will be, but we don't know that. They could get worse. It could definitely get worse.
Oh, I think that they could be worse. The only thing that I would say is I've been thinking about this, how it's like really quickly, every training camp for the last several years, it's been, hey, the offense looks bad. The offense is struggling. How bad is this offense? And at least you have a reason this time around. Right. It's a young team and you're starting from the ground up. So I'm trying to find the silver lining of, in years past, we've looked at it and gone, oh my God, like, why don't they have an offensive coordinator? What's going on with Mac Jones? Why are the weapons so bad? At least in this case, it's like, well, you're just at the start of something.
Yeah, it's the beginning.
And let's remember, the Texans were the laughingstock of this league. CJ Stroud changed them overnight. So you never know. If this Drake May kid is the truth, everything changes.
Yep, that's true. And that's the mantra Jones has been chanting here for about 6 months. 617-779-7937. There is your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got Megsplaining. What's coming up in Megsplaining today, Mega?
We're sitting back down to the relationship roundtable.
Of course, relationship roundtable. It's been a while since we've all done this. So we'll get to that. And also, Jason Tatum said something to Chris Mannix I thought was interesting. We'll get to that right after Trending.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm here with Ryan Garvin.
I wanted to talk about the two goalies. I don't think it matters who comes first.
Trust me, it matters.
Jones and Mego. It matters.
One regret that Jason told me he has is that he wished he was more vocal over the years in support of Jaylen Brown. He's always told him privately, I've got your back. People around him have always said to me, look, Jason has no problem with Jaylen Brown. He wants to play with Jaylen Brown. He believes they can win with Jaylen Brown. But I think sometimes these stories got some legs because we didn't hear a lot from Jason Tatum. He never criticized Jaylen Brown, but he wasn't maybe as vocal as he could have been. He said if he could look back and do any of that stuff over again, he would have been much more vocal early about how he wanted Jaylen Brown to be his partner with this team.
Interesting. Interesting. Chris Mannix saying he talked to Jason Tatum. And the one thing Jason Tatum regrets is that he didn't speak up earlier about Jaylen Brown and how much he supports him and how much he wants him on the team and how they're partners and everything else. Which I find interesting for two reasons. Number one, because he said it to Chris Mannix but didn't say it out loud, right? That'd be a thing to say out loud if that's something you really believe, something to say in an interview or at a podium or whatever, instead of privately to Chris Mannix. Number two, if only there was some sort of team that Jason Tatum was on right now that he could maybe speak up about and say, hey, you know, it'd be really great if Jaylen Brown, that would be a good time to speak up for Jaylen Brown. He wants to be on this Olympic team and I'm on the team and we got some other guys from the team, from the Celtics on the team. It would be really cool if Jaylen Brown was on the team as well. And Jason Tatum has not done that. I mean, maybe he's done that behind the scenes, but publicly he has not said, I want Jaylen Brown on this team. He should be on this team. Why isn't he on the team? And now he's telling Mannix, you know, I really wish I'd regret not speaking up more. It's like you could be speaking up right now, Jason, if you really wanted to. You could be speaking. It's a different thing, obviously. It's the Olympics, but you could be speaking up about it. You could make it a whole campaign. You could be campaigning right now for Jaylen Brown to be on the team. Maybe he wasn't, but at least you can look at him and say, well, his teammates out there trying to get him on the team. Kevin Durant hasn't played a game. They played 5 games. Durant's played 0 seconds, and he's still part of this. If he gets let go, Jason Tatum, I mean, he hasn't done any public campaigning about this. You could be doing that right now, and he isn't. I find this whole thing very, very suspect, I'll be honest with you.
I think it's a good point by you. I also think, as you said, it's a different thing when it's the Celtics on their championship quest or the several seasons that they've had of being in the Eastern Conference Finals and in 22 going to the finals and losing, than being on Team USA.
Right.
He's not the de facto captain of Team USA, at least how it has appeared so far in the exhibition stages. I think that Tatum is not the kind of guy who's going to step on the toes of the people above him or get political. And I say that political in the sense of relationships that people have on Team USA with sponsors, not political in the sense of like, you know, Republican or Democrat. I think he doesn't want to touch any of that stuff. It's a live wire. Jaylen Brown goes and grabs the live wire, right, and then talks about the consequences of that.
He throws the live wire into a puddle.
Right. Jason Tatum doesn't want to be anywhere near the live wire, and he doesn't want to talk about it. So I think what he was talking about in the Chris Mannix feature in Sports Illustrated that Mannix is referencing there is that there was so much debate about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Do they like each other? Do they play well together? Blah, 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 blah. And that he could have gotten out ahead of that earlier, but it's not totally separate from Team USA. I just think it's a little bit of a different... I think that they were less mature in earlier days of the Celtics, and it probably wasn't a huge priority for Tatum.
Yeah.
You know, Tatum's trying to figure out his own stuff. And then he talks about in that feature, which I would encourage people to read, even though it's incredibly long, Chris Mannix, so long.
Like,
I read it this
like
morning.
Like ringer long?
So, longer.
Longer than a ringer?
So Jeez. Long. Like, you know, when you have the That's little, long. When you have the little browser thing on the side, the yes. arrow on your phone. And it was so small. And I was like, surely this is the rest of the website. It's not the Chris Mannix article. It was the whole freaking article. Mm. Took forever. But anyway, all to say that, like, I get the idea that Tatum could have been more proactive and he still could in these games. I just don't think that's who that guy is.
Yeah, it seems that way. He's saying he regrets it. Do you think he really regrets it?
I think you two are being incredibly nice. Jason Tatum is a wet blanket. And, I mean, he doesn't say anything about anything except, you know, at the podium he says all the right stuff. This feels like Mannix led the witness. I'm sure Mannix in this long-ass article was probably like, so do you feel like, you know, if you could go back in time, you would have been a little more vocal about Jaylen Brown? He's like, yeah, I do feel that way.
Good idea.
You know, and he ran with it. But, like, this guy doesn't say anything ever. So, I don't believe any of it. I don't believe... He feels he should have been more vocal back in the day about Jaylen. No, he doesn't. Jason Tatum, great player. We love him, you know, but he's a wet blanket. He doesn't say anything ever.
Yeah, that's mainly true. And he could be saying something right now if he wanted to, and he's not. There's been two trades in Major League Baseball here in the last 45 minutes that we haven't really gotten to, but they both involve teams in the AL East.
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Mariners acquiring right-handed reliever Yimi Garcia from the Toronto Blue Jays. The main return for the Blue Jays is outfield prospect Jonathan Garcia was one of the best relief pitchers available at the deadline, according to Passan. Seattle remaining busy. Ryan, you don't agree with that assessment of Garcia, do you?
I have seen more bad from Yimi Garcia than I've seen good. I think he was in Houston and he didn't perform well, and he hasn't performed well historically in the time that he's been in Toronto.
Okay, and this prospect, the number 10 prospect in the Mariners organization, Clace, anything there?
No, I don't know anything about these kids.
Okay, no I don't idea. Either, but it sounds like if he's the 10th...
Talk to me when they're in the show. Until then, I don't really care
right.
about him.
10th prospect in the Seattle organization. That's what it took to land Yimi Garcia. Then there's this, the Baltimore Orioles acquiring right-handed starter Zach Eflin from the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa receives three minor leaguers in return for one of the top starters available. Those prospects are outfielder Matthew Etzel, right-handed pitcher Jackson Bomeister, and super utility man Mac Horvath. And the Orioles getting Eflin, one of the best starters in baseball right now.
Because they need him.
A strong team here that is making moves. We knew that the Orioles were in talks.
Corbin
we knew
Burns
that,
replacement.
Right. We knew that Toronto was open for business. We know the Rays now. I mean, the Rays are definitely open for business. They're trading all sorts of guys, and they're trading them in division. The Toronto Blue Jays, open for business, trading to Seattle, but Seattle's another team right there around the wild card. They're making moves. They're going for it. This is why I think it's really, really stupid for the Red Sox to have waited so long to pick a lane. This is why you have to pick your lane early. Yes. This is why you have to decide you're investing early. All these other teams have already gotten the framework for these deals done, and you're sitting there deciding if you want to even do anything. Like, that's annoying. The Red Sox should be in the middle of this. They should be making moves, too. And the fact that they aren't, and the Orioles are, and the Mariners are, these other teams are,
yes.
is upsetting. You're not a team that should be waiting 4 days. You should be helping yourself out right now.
Preach.
Right now is when it's falling apart. So there you go. That's a couple of trades going on here in the majors. You feeling good about that one, Orioles fan?
I mean, of course I am as an Orioles fan, but I'm sitting here from the Red Sox perspective. I'm not going to cheer for that. It literally in Fenway Park, it's just that's a guy you could have used. That's a real move. That's a real investment. Now, it would take three minor leaguers that you'd have to trade. I don't know the status of those guys, how high they were in the system, in the farm system for the Orioles.
The super utility kid was their number 10 prospect.
Okay.
Which, so it's not apples to apples, but your number 10 prospect right now, according to MLB.com, Richard Fitz.
Richard Fitz, yeah.
Okay. Honestly, like, I would part with him in a heartbeat. It doesn't. Yes. I know you love the jersey, Arcan, but like if you can go out there and get Eflin, let's do it in a second.
Eflin,
two others.
Eflin was there to be had, and what's more devastating is what we're talking about here is now he goes to the Orioles, a team where, you know, I've talked about all show. It feels like the American League is open for business in terms of getting to a World Series. It's not as top heavy as the National League where you have to go through Philly, you have to go through the Dodgers, you have to go through Atlanta. You look at the American League and it's a bunch of unknown. And even the Orioles, a good team before this move, you know, you still are thinking, okay, this is a team still figuring out how to win. And now you got Burns and Eflin. It's just devastating. And clearly he was there to be had. And the Red Sox either didn't get involved or didn't do enough to get him, and at the very least, to keep him away from arrival.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, the Orioles, they're a team that should be open for business, too. They're a very young team. Henderson's 23, Rutschman's 26. They got one guy over 30 in their entire starting lineup. It's Ryan O'Hearn, the DH. Everybody else is 29 and younger. That is a young team with a lot of really good talent on it and a pretty good rotation, too, with you know, Burns and Rodriguez and Cole Irvin and some other guys. So, I mean, you have... You're looking at a team that is willing to make those moves. We're young. We don't need these prospects. We got young guys who are going to grow up here with the team. We don't have a huge payroll. Let's go out there and get something done. And they're doing it. And the Red Sox should be doing it, too. All right, with that in mind, let's get to Meg explaining.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
So, Travis, this will be your first time, I think, participating
yes.
in this particular side of Meg-splaining on Fridays. Usually when we have everybody together, but we like inviting guests in, we do something called the Relationship Roundtable.
Relationship Roundtable.
Ah, so helpful.
It really is.
So what I do is on Instagram, my Instagram handle, at MegaWaffles22 with 1G, I'll put out a prompt. I'll say, hey, if anybody needs a little advice on their love life, their relationships, you know, we'll keep it anonymous. You send it here. We'll address it as a show. And so then we go through some of our listeners' problems.
All right.
Are you ready to help the
people? We try and help them, right?
I'm up for the task.
Okay, this one's pretty straightforward. This comes from D. He wants to know, how much time between the first and second date should you wait if both people want to see each other again?
Well, how do you know the other person wants to see you?
I guess you're assuming that the chemistry was really strong on the first date, so...
Or can I got
that. Or you're texting after, so it's an immediate reply.
Go ahead.
D, you already messed up. I mean, listen, if the first date was good enough where you're thinking about a second date, at the end of the first date, you set up the second date, or you at least plant the seed. Hey, we got to do this again. This was so fun. Okay, you call me? No, I'll call you.
Setting up the second date.
You got to set it up.
The first date's a little aggressive, I think.
What?
Because what if she's not into it? Then all of a sudden you look thirsty. Now you're trying to see her again, you know? Maybe
you don't look thirsty.
You look confident.
You look focused, yeah. Right. You know what you want.
Mm.
Women always say, listen, I just want a man that knows what he wants. A man that's in charge. D, you done messed up. You got to set this up, brother. I'm not saying you have to make the second date on the first date, but what I'm saying is you must at least have the inertia. You got to have the ball rolling that, hey, we're going to do this again, baby. This was great.
Yeah.
D, you already messed up.
Listen, I think there's some truth to that. I also think there is some truth to the idea that if you had a good time on a date and you want to see her again, you say, hey, I had a really nice time, and then you wait a day, let her think about it a little more, and then you add, and then she's more likely to say, yeah. If you say, at the end of the first day, hey, that was really great. Let's start doing the second day. Let's go. What are you doing next Thursday? Whatever.
Well, you don't have to take out your calendar and your phone.
Well, you just start scheduling the day. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that could – I could see it, like I'm just thinking back when I was dad. I could see that going wrong for me. You know, I could see that being something where
yeah, but
I need
if it
to like,
goes wrong, then at least you know immediately and you're not wasting time.
But it could have gone right if I played it different is what I'm saying. You know, like if I look too eager, if I look like, wow, let's go. Come on, let's go out again. Like, you know what I mean? Like that can not always look good. I think women can sometimes be turned off by that.
So from a female perspective, I'll say I think guys pay attention to that too much. They worry too much about should I wait 48 hours before texting? Why isn't she texting back immediately? When do I message? What way? What do I do for the second date? Like, if it's really good, it doesn't matter if it's the end of the date and you say, hey, that was really great. Like, maybe sometime next week. And she's not going to be like, if it was really great, she's not going to be like, ooh. He just assumes that we're going on a second date. And she also won't go home and be like, well, now that I've had 24 hours, I've decided I want to see this person again. It's all games. And there is like some
leave him wanting more a little, you know? Like,
no, she knows during date one if she's going out.
Oh, she's decided in the first 5 minutes. She's like, there's either.
I thought that was if there's going to be sex or not.
Well, do you think that doesn't include the second date?
I mean, yeah, third date usually.
So if you're sitting there and you're like, okay, this guy's a weirdo and I can't wait to get out of here, or he's just boring or something, like, you know that pretty immediately, and you're going to know that at the end of the date. And if that's the vibe, you're probably not going to end the date by being like, this was awesome. Let's do this as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, D, in the time it took for you to, you know, send this message, you could have been setting up the second date. Yeah, you know, time is of the essence here.
That's
true. You need to jump on this.
I also feel like in today's, and I don't know, I mean, I'm saying today, the last time for me was like 9 years ago, but like in the dating world now, it's so immediate that she and he might both have other things set up during the week, you know, like, and who knows, maybe that goes really well. So you don't necessarily want to get too
old. No. That's where you get in trouble.
Well,
if you start always leaving the door open, going like, well, what if somebody's better next week? There's this girl that looks really hot in the pictures on the app,
right?
And I have something with her. And then you go sit down with her and you realize it's a total catfish. And you're like, well, I could be sitting with the girl from last week who was really fun.
You ever get catfished?
No.
You ever get catfished?
No, I was out of the game.
I've never done dating apps.
I wouldn't say it was catfish, but I got a couple of like pictures that were very different from the, you know, like
it was them. Yeah.
But it was either an old picture or very filtered or, you know, like it was actually, so I can't say it's catfish is when it's like a different person.
I've gotten catfished with like an apartment before where I was going to go look at an apartment to rent, and I go in there and I'm like, this does not look like the photos. Like,
Neve?
I've gotten real estate catfished.
Oh,
that sounds bad. All right. What else we got?
Okay. This is from Jeff. And again, this kind of goes along with it. We get a request kind of like this from time to time. Jeff wants to know, best place to meet women without the apps.
Best place to meet women without the app? Like
not being on Tinder or something. Like best either activity, bars, restaurants, whatever, to meet women.
I know the best place to meet cougars is Abe and Louie's.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's like, that's what it's known for.
Do you know this from experience?
Not firsthand experience, but secondhand, yes. I have friends.
What do you mean secondhand?
Who would go cougar hunting at
Abe and Louie's. You didn't go with them.
I did not.
You weren't like
out
on the safari with them.
But it was when I was with Cindy. And Cindy used to live right by there. So we'd go, you know, we'd walk around and I'd see my friend. They'd be over at Abe and Louie's just, you know, on the hunt. On the hunt for a nice
on the safari
cougar pelt up on their wall. But yeah, that's where you meet the cougars. I don't know where you meet girls now. I have no idea. I have no idea where you meet women these days.
I mean, when you weren't on apps.
You know, bars, I guess. Like wherever, whatever bar we happen to be at, like that's pretty much it. You know, we didn't do it. It's not like I'd go hiking or anything. You know, I wasn't part of like a running club or whatever. I hear running clubs are really popular now, but yeah. I wasn't doing stuff like that.
I think
that.
A lot of the sports teams, like, and we've mentioned this before, like if you're in a softball league or a kickball league, that's all just to meet people.
Right.
That's all people do that for. I live in Southie. There's one like every single night. Every single night, every variation of whatever you're looking for. I can't imagine that those are for anything else.
Those adult kickball leagues, kind of like adult Disney, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it got same kind of vibe, like, you know, grow up, like play a real sport.
Yeah.
Kickball.
I always had
kindergarten, like, come on.
I had a lot of luck with functions of your current friend group. But what I mean is, like, you know, when your friends would have social gatherings, whether at their place or a cookout or a barbecue or something like that.
Your friend's girlfriend's friend.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Like, exactly. People in your social circle, when they would have, when they would host some sort of social gathering, you go as a single person. There's other single people there. You have mutual friends there. There's people saying, oh, you know, Travis is single. Oh, so-and-so's single. Oh, and I would kill it at those. So I would say, whoever your friend group is, find out who's having a shindig, whether it's a fight party or whatever, a family reunion, doesn't matter. Go to it, and you're welcome.
I always feel proud when I throw a party where people go home together.
See?
Like, I feel like it makes, this happened at my Christmas party a year ago, and I was like, two years ago, I was very proud. Two of my friends went home together, and they were together for like 3 months, and then it blew up.
Yeah.
But they hadn't met each other before, and I was like, I feel like this is the mark of a great shindig.
Absolutely, and think about it. When you're single, you want to get out of the house. You don't want to be stuck in the house, so you hang out with your friends anyway. Instead of y'all just going to a bar, wait till one of them is having something, go to that, and voila.
So Cindy and I got married during COVID. We got married in 2020 that summer. I had one groomsman there because no one else could make it. And she had all of her bridesmaids because they all live locally. And my groomsman friend hooked up with one of the and it was as proud as I've ever been.
See?
The two people who didn't know each other prior to the wedding.
That's right.
Got together and got it on at the wedding. I thought that was really, really cool.
It must be some like Italian grandmother genes that come through where you're like you're like, oh, yes, I'm matchmaking.
Yeah. You know?
Cupid comes out of, the altar and zings his arrow. But yeah, that's what happened. And then 8 months later, it ended very, very badly.
Yeah, but that's not your problem.
Not my problem. I did my job.
That's right.
We put love in the air, Cupid's arrow found its mark.
The only thing that I would say, and I have touched on this before, but as a woman, the absolute last place to try to pick women up, I promise you,
is
the gym.
Yeah.
Is the gym. Do not approach women if they are actually working out at the gym. If she's walking around in a cute set, and she's just on her phone or something, like, maybe that's different. If you're on the treadmill or you're like lifting free weights, do not approach her. She's just getting a workout in. She's not looking to go out with you.
What if you have a perfect body like I do and you just want to, you know, that, you know, they're going to be receptive because they see this.
Of course. How could you not?
And then you start wagging your head back and forth because you ear infection.
Some women find that sexy, you know?
Like that's your calling card.
Oh, yeah. It's like a mating dance, you know?
Look at those fluids dripping out of his ear. He's so hot.
Yeah. Wow, he must
be
really...
I bet he's on antibiotics.
He must be on amoxicillin. All right, there you go. That is Meg Splaining, another great addition. The Relationship Roundtable, as we help the people of Boston, Greater Boston, and beyond with their relationship problems. Coming up, we're going to help you with your gambling problems. We didn't have any problems last night, although actually we did. We almost hit the parlay, not quite. I think we all know why. We'll get to that next.
Take Jones and Mego wherever you go. Just tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, play EEI, play Jones. This is Jones and Mego.
Yeah, I hate Jones, Alexa.
On WEEI.
I saw these guys once in Denver. This was a good show. But it wasn't the whole group. It was just Booty Brown, Slim Kid Trey, and the other one. And Amani, I think his name is.
Classic.
No Fat Lip.
Classic.
Who really was the backbone of the group in a lot of ways. Anyway, this is Jones, Mego, and RK. No Jones today.
No, this is the Far Side.
This is also the Far Side playing right now.
How did you not end up working in music?
Who produced this beat, do you know?
Pete Rock?
Nope.
Who?
K. Dilla.
Oh, R.I.P.
K. Dilla beat.
How'd you not end up working in music?
I did a long time ago.
What?
But that industry is not a great one either.
What do you mean?
Sort of tough working in that one.
I got
the radio, the music radio industry is.
What do you mean?
Not great lately. I don't know if you knew that. But,
I got you.
Yeah, still a big fan though. Anyways, Travis Thomas, it's been great having you today. We will hear you tomorrow.
Yes.
And also on Sunday, where are we going
to
hear you?
3 to 6 tomorrow, right here. I'll be here in the WEEI Red Sox Network Studios here at Fenway. And also Sunday, you can catch me on Nesson, every day on Nesson.
Very good. You'll hear me tomorrow from noon to 3. I was supposed to be working Sunday, moved over to noon to 3 tomorrow. Ryan Garvin, where can we hear you this weekend?
I honestly don't know if I have a show tomorrow.
Okay.
I have no idea. But if we do, the producer show is usually on Saturdays 8 to 9, but I don't see us scheduled anywhere.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Really? What are you doing here tomorrow?
Yeah. Go.
Run to home base,
right?
Of course.
Home base tomorrow, right out of Fenway, returning in Fenway.
I will not be here for my show. I'll be in the parts unknown. But yeah, you'll be coming on right after me. And then the maybe the producer show in the morning. And definitely Mega will be here for Run to Home Base, which is also a great thing going on here this weekend.
Yep. Race starts at 9. Events start at 8. Come out, bring the family. There'll be the World Series trophies here. Lots to do, lots to see.
Let's do a little crossover, you and I, your last segment.
All right.
A little music talk to
end your program. Favorite Jay Dillaby.
Let's go.
All right, very good. With that in mind, let's get to Bet Roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boo! Boo! That's it! Gambling!
Bet Roulette is sponsored by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS today or donate online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that is Cars with a K. Now, I know I hit last night because I bet it and I won. Chris Sale in the over of 7.5 strikeouts. Fitzy, I believe, had the over with that A's-Angels game with those two bums starting.
Second or third inning.
Yeah, it was like 11-10 in the third inning there. So he hit that one. What was the other one? I forget.
Mego had the Braves money line.
No, I didn't. I had Mets.
You had Mets money line?
Uh-oh. Yeah. I said the Mets just handled the Yankees, so... Yeah,
we did it.
Oh, hey!
Yeah!
All
right. See what happens when Jones isn't here? We actually get some bets right. Let's see if we can keep it going here with Travis Thomas. Travis, why don't you take this roll? That is a six. A six for Travis Thomas.
What's that mean?
It means, and this is one that I'm happy about. All of these are Red Sox-Yankee related.
All right.
Will the total number of runs tonight be an odd or an even number?
All right. I mean, listen.
That is something you can bet on FanDuel right now. Yeah, I'm not making this up.
Where I shop, I'm looking at a 9.5 total for tonight's game, right? I was already leaning under. I think Bayo gets back on track. I'm going to go ahead. I'll go odd number.
Odd number. He's going with the odd number. Will it also be a prime number?
Yes.
Okay. That's like plus 2,000 for a prime number. All right, here's Mego's roll. That is a 2, and that is the over-under for runs tonight, Yankees and Red Sox. It's Bayo and it's Nestor Cortez, and the over-under is 9.5 runs, Mego.
That's what Travis just said. You're taking the under, so I'll double down on that. I'll take the under. Like you said, hopefully Bayo is looking more like he did against Kansas City than a lot of his other outings this season, and you get right with him because Lord knows you need it if the only other starting pitcher that you're going to have out there to add to this rotation is James Paxton.
That's true. All right, my role is a 1, and that's Yankees and Red Sox tonight as a pick'em. I hate to do this because I hate the Yankees, but they do have a lefty going tonight, and the Red Sox have been struggling.
No!
So, listen, I'm not voting with my heart right now. I'm picking with my head, and I'm picking the Yankees, unfortunately, in the pick'em tonight. I think they got the less juice there. If I wanted to really juice this up, I'd go Red Sox, but I'm going to go ahead and take the Yankees because I'm talking money here. I don't want to mislead anybody because I'm being a homer. Anyway, there you go. I like the Yankees. Travis likes the total runs to be odd. And Mego likes under 9.5 runs. What is that, Ryan?
I don't know, because as soon as you said odd even, I just put my phone away, because there's no way you can parlay that.
Why not?
I was wondering.
I don't know.
Why can't you?
I don't know. I'm not a sportsbook arcand.
You didn't try?
No, because I don't know where it is. I have no idea where that is.
Can I do a write-in vote for Bayo over on K-Prop so you can put this parlay together before we leave?
No, because the guy that does Bet Roulette every day can't find 3 bets sometimes.
I did find a 3 bet. I found this one on FanDuel. I didn't just make it up. What do you think? I'm making up bets over here? I found it on FanDuel. It was under. Hold on. I'm not going to have time to find this.
Yeah.
But I promise you it was in there. Whatever. I can't find it.
Riveting radio.
Over or under? No. You're just going to have to trust me. No, here it is. All right. Yeah. Even or odd.
I don't trust you. Say goodbye.
-130. All right, we're out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. Listen to Travis Thomas, me, and Ryan Garvin maybe tomorrow. And Mego's going to be here also for the run to home base. Stick around. Rich Keefe's next. He'll take you right into Red Sox pregame here. Sox and Yankees coming up right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's you the pumpkin market.
See the greatest gift for me,
I don't
for
know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
Excuse me.
Having some ice cream with Jose Iglesias?
Yeah.
We had tequila.
It is. Excuse me.
Tequila.
Hey, Jones and Mego, wherever you go, just tell your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, play EEI, play Jones. This is Jones and Mego.
Yeah, I hate Jones, Alexa,
on WEEI.
I saw these guys once in Denver. This was a good show. Ooh. But it wasn't the whole group. It was just Booty Brown, Slim Kid Trey, and the other one. And Amani, I think his name is.
Classic.
No Fat Lip.
Classic.
Who really was the backbone of the group in a lot of ways. Anyway, this is Jones, Mego, and Arkan. No Jones today.
No, this is the Far Side.
This is also the Far Side playing right now.
How did you not end up working in music?
Who produced this beat, do you know?
Pete Rock?
Nope.
Who?
Jay Dilla.
Oh, R.I.P.
Jay Dilla beat.
How'd you not end up working in music?
I did a long time ago. What? But that industry is not a great one either. I've noticed.
What do you mean?
Sort of tough working in that one.
I got
the radio, the music radio industry.
What do you mean?
Not great
either.
Lately. I don't know if you knew that.
I
but,
got
you. Yeah, still a big fan though. Anyways, Travis Thomas, it's been great having you today. We will hear you tomorrow.
Yes.
And also on Sunday, where are we going
to
hear you?
3 to 6 tomorrow, right here. I'll be here in the WEEI Red Sox Network Studios here at Fenway, and also Sunday you can catch me on Nesson, every day on Nesson.
Very good. You'll hear me tomorrow from noon to 3. I was supposed to be working Sunday, moved over to noon to 3 tomorrow. Ryan Garvin, where can we hear you this weekend?
I honestly don't know if I have a show tomorrow.
Okay.
I have no idea. But if we do, the producer show is usually on Saturdays 8 to 9, but I don't see us scheduled anywhere.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Really? What are you doing here tomorrow?
Yeah. Go.
Run to home base, right?
Run to home base tomorrow, right out of Fenway, returning in Fenway.
I will not be here for my show. I'll be in the parts unknown, but yeah, you'll be coming on right after me, and then maybe the producer show in the morning, and definitely Mego will be here for Run to Home Base, which is also a great thing going on here this weekend.
Yep. Race starts at 9, events start at 8. Come out, bring the family. There'll be the World Series trophies here. Lots to do, lots to see.
Let's do a little crossover, you and I, your last segment.
All right.
A little music talk to
end your program. Favorite Jay Dilla beat.
Let's go.
That? All right, very good. With that in mind, let's get to Bet Roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boom, boom, that's it. Gambling.
Bet Roulette is sponsored by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car could be picked up tomorrow. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS today or donate online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that is Cars with a K. Now, I know I hit last night because I bet it and I won. Chris Sale on the over of 7.5 strikeouts. Fitzy, I believe, had the over with that A's-Angels game with those two bums starting.
Second or third inning.
Yeah, it was like 11-10 in the third inning there, so he hit that one. What was the other one? I forget.
Mego had the Braves money line.
No, I didn't. I had Mets.
You had Mets money line?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I said the Mets just handled the Yankees, so yeah.
Then we did it.
Oh, then we hit our parlay.
Yeah! See what happens when Jones isn't here. We actually get some bets right. Let's see if we can keep it going here with Travis Thomas. Travis, why don't you take this roll? That is a 6. A 6 for Travis Thomas.
What's that mean?
It means, and this is one that I'm happy about. All of these are Red Sox Yankee related.
All right.
Will the total number of runs tonight
be
an odd or an even number?
All right. I mean, listen.
That is something you can bet on FanDuel right now. I'm not making this up.
Where I shop, I'm looking at a 9.5 total for tonight's game, mm-hmm. right? I was already leaning under. I think Bayo gets back on track. I'm going to go ahead I'll go odd number.
Odd number. He's going with the odd number. Will it also be a prime number?
Yes.
Okay. That's like plus 2,000 for a prime number. All right, here's Mego's roll. That is a 2. And that is the over-under for runs tonight, Yankees and Red Sox. It's Bayo and it's Nestor Cortez. And the over-under is 9.5 runs, Mego.
That's what Travis just said. You're taking the under. So I'll double down on that. I'll take the under. Like you said, hopefully Bayo is looking more like he did against Kansas City than a lot of his other outings this season, and you get right with him because Lord knows you need it if the only other starting pitcher that you're going to have out there to add to this rotation is James Paxton.
That's true. All right, my role is a 1, and that's Yankees and Red Sox tonight as a pick'em. I hate to do this because I hate the Yankees, but they do have a lefty going tonight, and the Red Sox are struggling.
No!
So, listen, I'm not voting with my heart right now. I'm picking with my head, and I'm picking the Yankees, unfortunately, in the pick'em tonight. I think they got the less juice there. If I wanted to really juice this up, I'd go Red Sox, but I'm going to go ahead and take the Yankees because I'm talking money here. I don't want to mislead anybody because I'm being a homer. Anyway, there you go. I like the Yankees. Travis likes the total runs to be odd, and Mego likes under 9.5 runs. What is that, Ryan?
I don't know, because as soon as you said odd even, I just put my phone away because there's no way you can parlay that.
Why not?
I was wondering.
I don't know.
Why can't you?
I don't know. I'm not a sports book arcand.
You didn't try?
No, because I don't know where it is. I have no idea where that is.
Can I do a write-in vote for Bayo over on K-Prop so you can put this parlay together before we leave?
No, because the guy that does Bet Roulette every day can't find 3 bets sometimes.
I did find a 3 bet. I found this one on FanDuel. I didn't just make it up. What do you think? I'm making up bets over here? I found it on FanDuel. It was under. Hold on. I'm not going to have time to find this.
Yeah.
But I promise you it was in there. I promise you it was in there. Whatever. I can't find it.
Riveting radio.
Over or under? No. You're just going to have to trust me. No, here it is. All right. Yeah. Even or odd.
I don't trust you. Say goodbye.
Minus 130. All right. We're out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. Listen to Travis Thomas, me, and Ryan Garvin maybe tomorrow. And Mego's going to be here also for the run to home base. Stick around. Rich Keefe's next. He'll take you right into Red Sox pregame here. Sox and Yankees coming up right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's the pumpkin market.
The greatest gift when
I don't know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
Excuse me.
Having some ice cream with Jose Iglesias?
Yeah.
We had tequila.
It is. Excuse me.
Tequila.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.